Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we continue to move through the 2016 season, our fourth installment here of Peak Performances, the fourth quarter of 2016, the last four regular season games, all Packers victories. And I'll preface this by saying this was difficult to narrow down to five peak performances in keeping with the other segments of the season. The five choices that we'll talk about here on the show, they're all on Packers.com with video and a poll for fans to vote for their favorite. But this was tough to narrow it down. But it starts with the victory at home against the Seattle Seahawks and the defensive backfield, not selecting any one individual here, but the defensive backfield intercepting Russell Wilson five times, really handing Russell Wilson the worst game of his career in a 38-10 Packers victory.
Yeah, statistically, it ended up being a 43.7. Couldn't get my words out there. passer rating, and it really would have been much worse than that if it wouldn't have been for some, you know, garbage points and garbage yards at the end of that game. They were dominant. And I think when you look, Mike, at probably the most dominant victory of the season against such a credible opponent in Seattle, this was it. It was different in terms of the conditions than the game against Houston, but yet it was really challenging. And you looked at Seattle, again, a West Coast team that hadn't really been immersed in that very often. It just didn't seem like the Seahawks really wanted to be at Lambeau Field that night. And the Packers, particularly in that secondary, were able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, we had talked, I remember, in the weeks leading up to the game. The Packers' defense was starting to get some turnovers here and there. It had been a struggle all season long to get turnovers. And we talked about how turnovers are the kind of thing that they can come in bunches every once in a while. And then all of a sudden, the Seattle game, maybe the least likely opponent you'd think it would be where it would happen, but it does. The Packers get the five interceptions, and actually I believe it was six turnovers overall with also a fumble in the ball game. But Demarius Randle with two of the five interceptions, and I thought his interception at the end of the first half where he kind of floated back as Doug Baldwin appeared to be open in the end zone with Russell Wilson rolling to his left. A tough throw for Wilson. He didn't quite get enough on it, and Demarius Randle with a very athletic, leaping interception there at the goal line. If the Seahawks score there, they get potentially within 21-10 at halftime, and you still have yourself a ball game. That interception, the Packers go into halftime up 21-3. A great athletic play, and it was pretty close to slamming the door.
Yeah, Mike, anybody who's played Madden before has been in that situation where you think you have the receiver open way downfield, you throw it up, the ball kind of sits up there for a little bit, and the safety just jumps over and steps right in front of it. I've never been able to do that myself defensively, but I've had it happen to me multiple times, and most of the time it results in me shutting off the system.
Okay.
But for Seattle, there was no getting out of this, and that was one of the things I thought when you looked at the ball hawk ability of Demarius Randle, it really showed in this performance in this game. And let's be honest here, Mike, I think Randle, maybe not from a confidence perspective, but he did need a performance like this because he did miss, you know, 6 weeks with the groin injury, the surgery, trying to work his way back from that. We know how difficult it is to come back from those core muscle injuries in the middle of a season. He did it and then obviously stepped up in a big way. And for Russell Wilson, just nothing seemed to go right, whether it was the two picks by Randle, Quentin Rollins having an interception, Micah Hyde beginning that really strong start to the end of his season, and then also Morgan Burnett getting another one with stepping in front of Jimmy Graham. Just a really well-rounded performance by that defense to really slam the door on the Seahawks.
Yeah, Burnett was the one who got it started. As you said, he steps in front of Jimmy Graham for a pick, and it sets up a score for the Packers as they took the early lead. And then as the game went on, after the Randle interception just before halftime that we talked about, then the Packers started taking advantage of some deflected passes, the Seahawks not hauling things in. Ladarius Gunter gets a deflection at the goal line, and Quentin Rollins picks it off. Then Micah Hyde's interception, the pass, I believe, might have been Baldwin. Ball bounces off of his hands or off of his shoulder, something like that, and Hyde is there to grab it. Now, some luck involved, certainly, but we've also seen plenty of those plays where the deflection goes a certain way and nobody's able to come up with it. This was a day that those bounces were going Green Bay's way, and they took advantage every single time.
Yeah, and it was an important stretch for them. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I know you will, you're a lot more intelligent. The Packers went into this, I think it was, were they at a negative five? 5 or minus 5 turnover margin?
It was right around there, yeah. They were in the bottom third of the league right. in turnover margin for the season, which is not where the Packers normally are.
This turned everything on its yep. head, and being able to really turn and get this takeaway streak going near the end of the season. Because let's be honest, I mean, the Packers did overcome a lot of adversity. They did see a lot of their fortunes kind of shift based on injuries. This was the one game I thought where it really set the tone for the end of the season for them in the realization that, you know what, we can get the ball to bounce our way. If we have the opportunities, we're going to capitalize on them. And I'm sure for Dom Capers, Joe Witt, and the rest of that defensive coaching staff, sitting down with the guys after this game and reminding them that when you stay true to your fundamentals, when you stay true to your technique, good things will happen. And they certainly did against Russell Wilson in Seattle.
Yeah, with that, we've got plenty more peak performances from the last four games of the regular season to talk about. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there, and Wes continuing our discussion of the peak performances from the final quarter of the 2016 regular season. Next up is Ty Montgomery at Chicago. A big win, obviously, for the Packers, a last-second victory over the Bears. But Ty Montgomery, 16 carries, 162 yards, two rushing touchdowns. The biggest individual rushing performance by a Packers running back in over a decade, actually, going back to Sam Congato with 171 yards back in 2005. Really a remarkable performance by Montgomery, given everything, the winter conditions. Nobody necessarily knew that he had this in him as a feature back. Really started to emerge as a major, major weapon in this offense.
Well, I also thought when you mentioned that record that he had, or whatever you want to call it, being a decade since Gatto had done it, it's interesting to me and it's fitting that very similar circumstances where a number of guys went down, Amon Green went down, that it opened up the door for Gatto and how much they relied on him during that stretch. Very similar thing unfolded with Ty Montgomery. And we talked about in some of our previous episodes, Mike, in terms of what he brought to the table and the dimension he added to the offense. But this was a game in which they weren't going to catch the Bears by surprise this time. They knew what was going to be coming at them, and yet they still couldn't stop him. And that, I mean, give Vic Fangio a lot of credit. They still, despite a lot of injuries on their defense, Chicago was still a pretty formidable unit. And then, you know, Montgomery really comes out and just punches him right in the face. I mean, 162 rushing yards. I mean, I remember you and I were looking throughout the media guide throughout the game trying to figure out what the all-time record was, what put him in the top 10.
Yeah.
Finished just outside the outside of that, but for the most part, I mean, a really important performance in that game to really boost the Packers to a much-needed victory over a team that ended up playing them very tough the entire
yeah.
way.
I should clarify, too, the biggest single rushing performance by a Packers running back in the regular season in
right.
over a decade, not
sure.
to discount Ryan Grant's 200-yard
right.
game against the Seahawks in the playoffs in 2007. But Montgomery in this game, I think what was most impressive was how he broke tackles. He had three runs of 25-plus yards, I believe it was, and to average 10 yards a carry, obviously you've got to be breaking some tackles in order to make that happen. But moving on to our next couple of performances, both from the victory over Minnesota on Christmas Eve, quarterback Aaron Rodgers puts up a 136.6 passer rating, four touchdown passes, and a rushing touchdown on a scramble. And then wide receiver Jordy Nelson in that same Vikings game, really almost an unstoppable force at wide receiver in this game. 154 receiving yards, two touchdowns, several big plays, just a guy that the Vikings couldn't stop that day.
I thought this was really the performance, Mike, that really solidified Jordy Nelson as the comeback player of the year, which, you know, he's received from so many different outlets now, in showing exactly what he really meant to this offense down the stretch of the season and the ways that they could use him. I mean, you also recall, if I remember correctly, Randall Cobb started missing time with his lower body injuries here at this point of the season. They needed to use Nelson in a variety of different ways to really maximize this offense. Now, Jared Cook was getting into rhythm, but Nelson really became the down-in and down-out guy for Aaron Rodgers and so important to that unit. From Rodgers' perspective, there isn't much more you can say about him, though. I mean, his completion percentage continuing to be up there, no mistakes, continuing that interceptionless streak, and 136.6 passer rating, exactly what the Packers needed on a day, mind you, where Sam Bradford played pretty well as well. So this time, being able to outgun them, which they weren't able to do the first time around in Minnesota.
Yeah, the Packers' offense looked completely different in this version against the Vikings compared to way back in week two in Minneapolis. And as you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers, incredibly efficient. He had a lot of big games down the stretch. Obviously, we don't want to discount that. I thought this was maybe his best performance because it looked like every time he dropped back to pass, he could just do whatever he wanted to do back there. There was that aura, that confidence about what was going on with this offense. As good as Minnesota's defense was all season long, they had no answers for Rodgers and Nelson on this day.
Yeah, and getting to that Mike Spofford, let's be real, moment of the week. This was the game, and this was the opponent that so many people had asked. I mean, is Mike Zimmer, does he have Rodgers figured out? Does he have the Packers offense figured out? Rodgers went out there and showed, in a day, mind you, where the Packers didn't have as much success running the ball. It was more of a chore to get yards on the ground when they needed to be able to throw the football. Rodgers could do that. He did it mistake-free. No matter what Zimmer threw at them on that day, the different packages, different concept, different schemes that he worked, Rodgers had an answer for it. And again, getting back to Nelson, went back to his old faithful, 9 receptions on 11 targets.
Yeah.
There was some controversy afterwards about, you know, the secondary and if they were exactly working with what Zimmer gave them. But whatever way you slice it, Jordy Nelson went off for a big day.
Yeah, you look at the plays that Nelson made, a 21-yard touchdown catch in the first quarter, a 48-yard catch later to set up another touchdown. And then after the Packers had recovered a fumble, he catches a 33-yard pass and then finishes that drive with a 2-yard touchdown. You mentioned 9 catches and 11 targets. When a quarterback has that kind of rhythm going with a wide receiver, and it's happening with big plays, not just short little hitches and this and that, that's pretty impressive work.
Yeah, and this was during that stretch too where Rodgers and Nelson extending that franchise consecutive streak for 58 touchdown passes between them. Just a remarkable, remarkable chemistry with those two guys.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. They set that franchise record as far as a duo surpassing Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman there in that stretch. But with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we're down to our final peak performance from the fourth quarter of the 2016 regular season. But let me first run through an extensive list of honorable mentions that did not make the top 5 here, because this really was an impressive stretch for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers had great games against the Seahawks and the Lions. Jordy Nelson had a big game in Chicago with the 60-yard catch at the end to set up the field goal. Devontae Adams with 100 yards and the opening touchdown against the Seattle Seahawks. Clinton Dix, 2 interceptions in Chicago as the Packers put together a huge third quarter. And Clay Matthews with a big game against the Vikings, the big sack fumble, a couple of deflected passes. All that said, only one more to pick from the fourth quarter of 2016. And the selection is Geronimo Allison in Detroit, the NFC North clinching victory. Now, 4 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. Nothing that is statistically like, wow, but you're talking about an undrafted rookie playing in a big, big game on the road in prime time, filling in for Randall Cobb, who was injured. The Packers needed another offensive weapon to go to. And what he was able to do on a big stage for a young guy thrown into this type of situation, I thought really stood out.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And that was a big-time performance from him because, again, Randall Cobb dealing with the ankle injury that I think he originally sustained at going back to, was it the Chicago game or maybe even Seattle? But
yeah,
what have you, they needed guys to step up. They needed young players to step up. And Geronimo Allison, I just thought, looked wise beyond his years on the field. I mean, just really did not look like a rookie in a lot of cases. And the most impressive thing, there's a lot of things to like about him, his catch radius, his size, how he gets in and out of his breaks. But the thing I think that's most impressive, to me at least, is how he operates in the scramble drill. That's not easy for a rookie to come in and get on that quote-unquote same page we always hear about with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And he was excellent at that. And this was one of these games, too, where that experience, that really ability to step up, ultimately, I think, really paved the way for him having that kind of performance that he did against the Lions.
Yeah, you mentioned the scramble drill, and that really produced what turns out to be one of the more memorable plays of the entire 2016 season in the fourth quarter. The Packers, I believe, trying to establish a two-score lead. It's a big third down in the red zone, and Aaron Rodgers scrambles to his left. He stops, doesn't find anybody, continues to scramble to his left, extend the play even more. And then with a linebacker really all over Geronimo Allison, Rodgers fires it and gets it in there, and Allison makes a nice falling down, diving, cradle-type catch, secures the catch in the end zone for a big touchdown. Really took a lot of the wind out of the sails of the Detroit Lions. They're looking to hold the Packers to a field goal there and stay in the ball game. And really, that was the touchdown that sealed the NFC North championship.
It did. And that's actually probably what adds to this whole thing is, you know, him playing on that stage. I mean, yeah, you expect Aaron Rodgers to play the way that he does in those kind of settings. You expect Jordy Nelson and a lot of these veterans to step up. But to get that contribution from an undrafted rookie out of Illinois, and no disrespect to Illinois, but it's not like he played in a lot of those big-time marquee games.
Yeah.
He came up really with a strong, strong showing in a game in which the Packers desperately needed it. And when you look at his stats, I mean, the snaps he played during those final 3 weeks of the regular season, it's incredible. It really is. I mean, for him to start the season on the practice squad and end it playing in the biggest games of the season, that really probably is the biggest indicator of why there's an important emphasis placed on college free agency in Green Bay.
Yeah, no question about it, Wes. With that, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we've gone over the five peak performances from games 13 through 16 of the regular season. They're all on Packers.com. Fans can vote for their favorite. It's time for us to cast our vote. And maybe you'll want to vote for one of those honorable mention ones.
There
were some good ones there. Yeah. Like I said, this was the hardest segment of the season to actually narrow it down to five. But to review the five that we did go over, the five interceptions by the secondary against the Seahawks, Ty Montgomery's 162 rushing yards and two touchdowns in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers, four passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, a 136.6 passer rating against the Vikings, Jordy Nelson, nine catches, 154 yards, two touchdowns against Minnesota, and Geronimo Allison, four catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown in Detroit to win the NFC North. What's your vote?
QB1. This whole run that they got on, a lot of great performances along the way, whether it is a veteran like Jordy Nelson stepping up, whether it's an undrafted rookie like Geronimo Allison, whether it was the defensive backs coming through with some big takeaways down the stretch. This all starts with Aaron Rodgers. The table doesn't start without Aaron Rodgers. the performance against Minnesota was tremendous, but look at what he did against Detroit the following week and in such a huge atmosphere. I know I'm going off script, but that was as loud, I think, as I've ever heard Ford Field at the beginning of that game for him to push through 300 yards, four touchdowns. He didn't make any mistakes. And this is a game in which mistakes happen not weekly, not by the quarter. Mistakes happen constantly.
Yeah.
And to play mistake-free football at the highest level is so incredibly difficult. And again, he took everything. He took the pressure. He put it all on himself and came through with one of the greatest stretches of his career. Minnesota, no different. That's what ultimately set up the NFC North Championship game and got the Packers into the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And while I'm tempted to pick Jordy Nelson in that same Minnesota game because of what I said before, in the sense that he just looked totally unstoppable to me that day, in the interest of voting for a different game, I'll go with Ty Montgomery in Chicago. That's 16 carries, 162 yards, two touchdowns. Nobody saw it coming, at least not production to that level.
Right.
And as I said before, what impressed me the most about that performance was how many tackles he broke. That the yards after contact in that game were astounding. And Ty Montgomery is not a guy that strikes you as a yards after contact guy in terms of trying to plow between the tackles and all of that kind of stuff. But the runs that he broke off, the 61-yard run that ended up being the Packers' longest rushing play of the season. He had a couple of other carries later in the game that were for more than 25 yards. The Bears, in a sense, they should have known what was coming because of what had happened in the first game against Chicago, where Montgomery really got into that role in the backfield, but they didn't have an answer for him.
Yeah, and I remember after the game, I went up to TJ Lang and asked him about Montgomery's performance. And he had such an interesting thing about how he's like, well, I'm not really sure. I'm paraphrasing here, but basically said, I'm not really sure how much we helped him in terms of the offensive line. And that wasn't a dig against them, but just how much he created on his own.
Yeah.
Shedding that first defender. I mean, you go back to that, as you said, the 60-yard carry, how much of that he kind of did himself in terms of, even at the second level, shedding guys, keeping guys off of him. The offensive line gave him the holes to work with, but once he got through, the daylight was there. And, you know, I just got done talking about Aaron Rodgers and how important he was, and he certainly was huge. But this was the one game where Rodgers wasn't dominant. He had an 87 passer rating. He looked human. And they needed guys, especially in that running game, to come through for him, and Ty Montgomery was that guy.
Yeah, and the other thing I liked about this performance from Montgomery is the rest of the way, the last couple games of the regular season and into the playoffs, this performance in Chicago is what gave defensive coordinators and opposing defenses another thing to have to worry about. Like, oh, this isn't just the Aaron Rodgers show here. We can't let this guy, this running back number 88, get 10 yards of carry on us and move the chains and control the line of scrimmage the way he did in Chicago in a game that the Packers needed him.
And although he was finally a running back, can still catch the ball in the backfield too. Really dangerous.
Yeah, well, that wraps up installment number 4 of Peak Performances and this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.